stand to your feet and thank the Lord for the cross. Would you do that right where you are? Lord, we thank you. We would be nothing if it wasn't for the cross and what you did there. Thank you for the reminder this morning, Lord. It is there that you died for our sins and you changed us and gave us hope and made us an overcomer. And we love you today and we thank you for your grace and your love in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody glad you came today, say amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. I tell you what, Christy and I are blessed to be in Cookeville, Tennessee from Houston, Texas, and to be with Pastor Shane and Pam, and we just love them. Grateful. Have honored them for many, many years in ministry. I really appreciate, listen, Steve, don't get rid of that introduction that Shane wrote, because I'm going to make sure I put it on the website or something. I'm going to keep that in my Bible, remember it every once in a while. I love them. I met your pastors back in the 90s. He was pastoring, they were pastoring here in Tennessee, and I was pastoring here in Tennessee, and we met, and I have followed their ministry. Not actually stalked them, the ministry, but just watched the ministry, and God has blessed them, and I'm thankful for them. Whenever Pastor Shane texted me and asked if I'd come, I was really excited. Christy, I'll tell you, I was excited, man. Of course, I'm always excited when you leave Houston and come to Tennessee. I can leave my backpack in the car and not get it stolen. Praise God. I can leave my iPad on the seat, and I'm not scared it's going to have my windows knocked out. Since I've been in Houston, Christy and I have had a 33-foot travel trailer stolen. We've had the back window of our truck knocked out and a backpack stolen. We've had three vehicles stolen off a lot. You want me to keep going? I'm glad to be in Tennessee. Can anybody say amen? Anyway, Christy, my wife, and my partner, she is my friend. I am so glad. I don't get to travel with her all the time, but Pastor Shane gave the opportunity for her to be here with me, and I am really blessed she's here. Christy, stand up. Let everybody see who you are. Come on, baby, stand up. Hallelujah. That woman right there is the mother of seven kids. My God. Listen, we got seven kids, one for every day of the week. Their middle names are Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Eight grandkids. That's a woman that has eight grandkids and four grandkids in love or grandkids in law. I don't even know what to call them. They're bonus grands. That's what she calls them, bonus grands. I'm thinking bonus grands, nothing. I need a bonus to take care of the grands. Can somebody say amen? Anyway. No, I love her. I'm thankful for her, and I'm grateful to be here, and we're grateful to be here, and we love you. I don't know you. I met Pastor Steve. We don't know you, but we know your pastors, and they love you. And by virtue of that, there's a love that goes across the roles of pastors, that pastors love people. They believe in people. And Adam, today, I wish you would just sing. Just sing and play. I mean, the joker led in worship, didn't he? I was up on the front row about to stomp my boot off. I was like, hallelujah. And the folks, thank you. And thank you for allowing us to be here. This morning, I want to walk you through a journey that I've been on. The title of this message this morning is Waiting is Not Wasting. Waiting is not wasting. Last August, I had become very, very impatient in some personal areas and ministry areas and that kind of thing in my life. And I sat with my mentor. His name's Etzel Charles in Nashville, Tennessee. I meet with him regularly. And while I was sitting there, we were going over it. And then all of a sudden, he zeroed in on me. And he said, Dave, I want you to do a full study in the Word of God on waited, and waiting. I said, well, I don't like wait, and waiting. There's nothing about me likes to wait, or waiting. He said, that's why you need to do a full study. Out of that, there's been some lessons and some things that I think the body of Christ can grow from. Not learn from, but grow from. And so the Lord's laid this message on my heart, and this is a different, I've been preaching a message called Between Never and Always. You know what the difference between when you say God never answers my prayer and God always answers my prayer? You know what the space of that is? It's called waiting. Waiting. But today we're going to talk about waiting is not wasting. So Daniel chapter 10, verse 11 through 13, it's a familiar passage of scripture. It's been preached on many, many times. A lot of times it has to do with various things of spiritual warfare, and very much this is a part of that. But I want to read this to you, and I just want to point some highlights out this morning. Daniel chapter 10, verse 11 through 13 says, "And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. So listen carefully what I say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven." We'll read it again. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you begin to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. The answer to his prayer was delayed. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, we all know the story of Daniel. We know that he was a man of prayer. We do know that Daniel, because he was a man of prayer, wound up in the lion's den. Everybody remember that? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wound up in the fiery furnace. And it was all because of righteousness and goodness and following the Lord and obedience to the Lord and faithfulness to the Lord. And then we see in this situation that Daniel, the very one who had seen those victories, was now waiting for an answer to prayer and was having affirmation from an angel who was telling him, your prayer was heard the first time you prayed it. Now, I wonder, the way I read that, being Dave Dearman, is apparently Daniel was wondering why his prayer hadn't been answered. Well, wouldn't you wonder why your prayer hadn't been answered if you had been thrown in the lion's den and the lion's mouths were shut and you saw a great victory and the king said, man, I want to follow the God of that man right there. Or you saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go into the fiery furnace, come out free and clear, and then all of a sudden you're praying a prayer for understanding, the word of God says, but the answer hasn't come. Wouldn't you wonder, why didn't God answer my prayer? He shut the mouths of lion. Glory to God. We'd get to shouting and preaching on that, right? He shut the mouths of lion and he burned off the chains off of those three Hebrews. God, why are you not answering me now? Why is the answer to my prayer delayed? So we're going to learn today from this scripture, waiting is not wasting. Daniel and the children of Israel have been in captivity. Daniel's a godly man. He's been known as the influencer of three kings. He's carrying a heavy weight. He turns to prayer. And this man who was an influencer, a leader, a godly man who had seen many prayers answered, all of a sudden has a prayer delayed. Do you know in America, more people turn to prayer than go to church? Statistically, they say 79% of Americans pray, but less than 50% go to church. Anybody ever prayed before you ever came to church? Before you came to church, you ever pray? Come on, lift your hands. Let's be honest. Away from the Lord, but praying anyway. Do you know in America it says that people pray, they pray for family, relationships, and healing. Those are the three things that people pray for, whether they go to church or not. Family, relationships, and healing. And we really get excited when the answer comes. Right? We pray in faith. When the answer comes, we're excited. But in the space between the prayer and the answer, what's going on in your head? What's going on in your spirit? Because we don't like, this is what I've learned for me. I'm just sharing what I've learned since August of last year. I haven't stopped studying it since August of last year. That's how impatient I am. Listen, I'm almost a year into this. We don't like the space between praying and answer. We want our answer now. Amen? Anybody want your answer now? You're sick of waiting. Waiting is the tough part. We don't like waiting. Waiting is the tough part when Adam and this worship team is singing these songs of worship and excited, and everybody's excited, and yet we're standing there and we're singing that song by faith because we've been waiting for an answer to prayer for a long time. So, what happens in the wait? Now, I would like to confess to you today that I'm one of the most impatient people on the globe. Don't shake your head too big. Do you know that when this iPad is connected to Wi-Fi and I'm trying to watch a movie and that thing, that little ball in the middle starts spinning, but they call it buffering. I'm talking about I'm fixing to throw the iPad. I want to, if daggummit, if I'm watching a movie, I want to watch a stinking movie. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Hey, if you come to Texas and get your driver's license, how long did it take to get Jessica's driver's license? 2 years, almost a year, over a year. Christy, over a year, trying to get her driver's license through the DMV of the state of Texas. She's been sitting in driver's license office for a long time. I've been having to take care of the kids and everything else. I'm just kidding. I'll tell you, it's forever. I'm serious. Elevators. Come on now. You push that button, the button goes red. Hotel today. I've been up and down that elevator 3 times this morning, going down there early this morning, going over my notes, drinking coffee, pushing a button. I'm like, there's nobody here. I just left a town of 7 million people. I'm in Cookeville, Tennessee. The elevator should open now. And then you get in there, and you know the button that closes the door? Close the door. I don't want anybody else on here, you know. I don't want the ones that have masks on because it makes me feel bad. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Hey, listen. Waiting at Starbucks or Whataburger? Listen, I've been to treatment twice because I've been in a closet with a butter knife trying to cut my wrist over Starbucks. I'm telling you right now. I'm like, get me my skinny vanilla latte. Just come on. I mean, I told somebody in North Houston, Chrissy was with me. We were at the lake. We came back. We stopped at a Starbucks. We stopped in there. And I told them, I mean, we were in there. We ordered right through just like this. I said, y'all are the best Starbucks in America. I can't drive there every time Christy wants one. I get one when Christy goes. Christy goes a lot without me. But anyway, I go to Whataburger without her. But you can miss lunch at Whataburger waiting in line. Hey, rides at Disney World? Anybody been to Disney World? Anybody waited in line to ride Avatar? Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking? How long do we wait? 2 hours. I pulled every leaf off of every bush. I think you're getting the picture here today. But I've got to tell you one more about waiting. Was the line yesterday at the airport at Houston Hobby trying to get here? I'm not kidding. This line over here, one lady comes walking around everybody and cuts. I'm like, oh, no. I got to preach tomorrow. I'm praying about patience. I'm preaching on waiting, and here comes a test right here. No. So she goes up there. Whenever she gets up there, I thought, well, this is perfect justice right here. She gets up there, and the person at the counter leaves because he's having to work with a couple over here that had 16 bags. I'm not kidding. And every one of them over the limit of 50. That's a true statement. They had all of them open, trying to get 2 more pounds out of this one to get it over to this one. So finally, they got through. I was so glad I wasn't waiting on them. Here's the question. What do we do in the wait? I'm trying to learn that whenever I'm in line at a whatever, I'm the one that got in the line. right? You get mad. Well, why don't you hurry up? Well, you're the joker that got in the line. It's your fault you're sitting here waiting. So what do we do in the wait? I want to encourage you today, write it down. It may pop up on the notes. We need to create a theology of waiting. See, we've created a theology of prayer, and we've created a theology of how we think God should answer. But we need in this room today, and the Church of Jesus Christ needs to learn, Dave Dearman needs to learn and develop a theology of waiting. What happens in the wait? That's what I'm here today for, is to try to share with you some things of what I've learned. You see, we need to work on the attitude that says right now to the attitude of God will. Number one, God, first thing you need to understand today in the wait is that God hears your prayers. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, we read it. Then he said to me, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard." I'm saying to you today, if you've been praying a prayer, started to pray and wonder if God heard you or if God is going to answer, I came today to tell you, God heard your prayer. The word of God is full of examples of that. Psalm 18, verse 6 says, "But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears." So here's what we think. Because he heard our prayer, then why didn't he answer my prayer? Well, that's the theology of wait. That's what we're here today to learn. That's what the Lord is helping me to learn. The God who created the universe, the Bend Church in Cookeville, the God that created the universe and in your mother's womb formed you, he hears your prayer. I believe he hears the prayers of lost people. You know why? You can't get saved if he doesn't. We just sang about it. The old rugged cross. He was on the cross so that lost people come to know Jesus. God's heart is toward people. God's ears are tuned to people. He's not tuned to an elephant out in the jungle. He's tuned to the people in the city. Almost said the elephant in the city. That wouldn't have been good, would it? You see, God hears, and listen to me today, God hears your big prayers, and God hears your little prayers. I'm amazed at Christy's ears and how they're attentive to our kids. There's nothing like the ear of a mom. Not only that, their ears are different than dad's. Their ears can hear one of seven and know which one it is. I can hear one of seven and say, "My God, hush." They range from 28 to 10. Come on, child. I'm a 58-year-old man with a 10-year-old son. "They that wait upon the Lord, he'll renew." No, I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. 28 to 10. There's not one of them that she doesn't know the first time they speak which one it is. I promise you, every mother in here, true. Every mother in this room, when you hear whichever kid it is that you have, you know which one it is. Even though your husband lost as a goose, daddy lost as a goose, don't know which one it is. He's just like, "Go deal with them." She knows which one to deal with. I want to say to you, the God that created a mother with a sensitivity to the voice of her children is a God who is sensitive to the ears of every person in this room, and he knows your distinct voice. Number two, God answers our prayers. The theology, God answers our prayers. 1 John 5:15 says, "And since we know that he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for." In the theology of waiting, he will give us what we ask for. Is in this season of waiting, it purifies our motives of what we're asking for. It's a whole different lesson, whole different sermon. God doesn't give you just what you want because you want it. God gives you what his will is, his purpose, according to if you're delighting after his purpose. Our kids ask us all, I promise you, the two that are home right now, 13-year-old and 10-year-old, all they do is ask. But we don't give them everything they ask for because we know what's best for them in what they receive. It's the same way with the Lord. But God answers our prayers. Matthew 7:11. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? God gives good answers and he gives the right answers, and we can trust for a fact that God answers prayer. The problem is in waiting, we learn to wait. Instead of thinking he should just give us our skinny vanilla latte just because I got in line. Just because you ask him don't mean he has to give it. That's like your kids. Your kids think just because they ask it, you as a daddy ought to give it to them. I promise you, how many of y'all know? You better wait, boy. Don't come in here asking me 48 times for something you don't need. We've raised our kids. If we tell you no once, it's done. Anybody all right? And you come back and ask again, it makes no have three O's on the after the N. N-O-O-O. If you come back and ask again, it's no O-O-O-O-O-O-O. Your best thing is say, yes, sir. See, we go to God as pestilent, pesky, little spoiled kids wanting God to do whatever we want to do. And sometimes God says no because he wants you to wait. It's the theater. But he hears your prayer and he's answering. Number three, God uses our wait. So this is where we're going to dive in a little bit this morning because this is where I've been walking. I want to say to you that waiting is not wasted space. It is not a wasteland. God wastes nothing. God is a redeemer. He redeems our waiting. Just because you're waiting right now, there are people in this room, you prayed a prayer and you wonder if God even heard you, and you've just about given up. And I've come here to Cookeville, Tennessee to tell you God here has heard your prayer, and it's not a wasteland that you're in, but God is working in the wait. He's a redeemer. Romans 8:28, we know that God causes everything to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to whose purpose? His purpose. God works all things together for all things, all things, all things, T-H-I-N-G, not all spiritual things, all things. God works all things, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to, capital H, his purpose. It's in the wait that we begin to understand his purpose. But it's always a battle. And the enemy of your soul knows that waiting is a battle. He knows the answer is good. The enemy knows that the answer God has for you, those of you that are waiting for an answer, the enemy knows that the answer God has for you is good, so he fights it in the middle of it. That's what we just read in the text. There's a fight that goes on for the answer, and there's an enemy that comes in and tries to destroy it. He wants to bring fear and doubt. We sing against fear and doubt this morning because in the waiting is when fear and doubt comes in. That's when questioning comes in. Is God really working? And then the enemy wants to move you to striving and trying to produce the results instead of what? Wait, say it with me. Instead of what? The enemy comes in and begins, once you get all stressed and try to work and try to fix it, try to strive, try to produce it, try to get the answer. And you get so worked up, you've lost the very fact. God heard your prayer. God is working on your behalf, and he will handle it. And he's in process with it. Waiting is holy to God. Trusting God in the wait he will answer is the challenge. It's the challenge of waiting. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 has been my favorite scripture since I was a little boy. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will. He will direct your path. But there's challenges in waiting. Let's walk through them. Number one, here's the challenge. Don't hate the wait. Stop hating the wait. I'm really trying to learn this. Oh, my God. I can't even believe I'm preaching it. I'm serious. Christy will tell you, I can't believe I'm preaching it. The only reason I'm preaching this and the only reason I'm doing this study is because my spiritual father, my mentor, a man that Christy and I, we do not make a move and we don't move anywhere unless he speaks into our life. And he told me last August, he said, Dave, begin to do a study on waiting. And I've learned that I've got to learn how to not to hate the wait. Because I hate it. Stop. You amened at the wrong. I mean, she amened loud up on the front row. Everybody up here heard her. Y'all didn't hear her. She said it. She said, that's the truth. I hate to wait, man. You've got to learn how to embrace the wait. Because in the wait, God is producing something in you. He's heard your prayer now. He's heard it. And he wants good for whatever your prayer is. But it's creating a theology of waiting. Don't hate the wait. Learn to embrace it. Number two, don't waste the wait. Anybody in here ever played baseball? Anybody play baseball? Lift your hand high. How many of you had to learn how to hit a curveball? Come on, lift your hands high. Anybody? How many of you in this room in life have had to learn how to hit the curveball? Come on. Listen, you prayed one thing, and in your mind, you already had the answer. And then all of a sudden, that curveball. Now, I used to pitch. I pitched all the way through high school, and I used to love the curveball, and I would talk trash to you now. I'd wind that thing up. I'd spin that curveball, and somebody's swinging in the air. And the ball's just now going over the plate. And I just, when the catcher throw it back, I'd just look at him, and I'd go, Do you believe that I'd do that? Yeah, I know. I'm cocky. I'd just stand there and look at him. I'm not kidding. And then I'd go up to bat, and they throw right at my head the next time. I promise you. Anyway. In order to hit a curveball, it's not the same as hitting a fastball. You've got to learn to wait to hit a curveball. Now, listen to me in here. There are curveballs that happen in our lives that we don't ask for. And the enemy of your soul is the best at throwing a curveball. Now, I had this revelation sitting on the front row this morning, so it's for somebody in this room. Now, I wrote it in, I told Christy, I said, man, I'm so excited about this iPad with this pencil called. When I have a revelation, write it down in red, and it's right there. Some of you in this room, you've been praying, trusting the Lord, but in life, you've had a curveball thrown to you. You've lost your job. Somebody's walked out on you. Somebody had an affair on you. Somebody, you've had a wreck. Somebody died in your life, whatever. But I'm going to tell you, you've got to learn, and in the waiting process is when the Lord helps you learn how to deal with the curveball. When the curveball comes in your life, if you've learned how to wait on the Lord when the curveball comes, you can wait on it, and when the devil throws you a curveball, you can rip it. Because how many of you know when you learn how to hit a curveball, what happens to it when you hit it? Come on now. What happens to it? Man, when them jokers learn how to hit your curveball, that pitcher better be ducking. I better be ducking because them boys will take your stinking head off with a curveball. That fastball you can get by, but that curveball will come right back at you or go out of the fence. And I'm telling you, the most horrible feeling in the world is whenever you throw a curveball and you're ready to get cocky and go, there you go. And all of a sudden you go, there it goes. And that joker starts running, flips a bat. Flips it and looking at me the whole way. Now, here's the thing now. Listen to me. Listen. Don't waste the wait, because in your waiting between prayer and the answer, God is teaching you how to hit a curveball so that when the devil comes your direction and throws you a curveball, you can wait on the Lord, have faith in the Lord, you grow in the Lord, and the devil, you can walk and look at him and go, You can sing that song. Some of you have been thrown curveballs and the Lord's brought you through them. When you start singing that song, you sing it a different way than somebody that's in it right now. Right? A little leaguer hits a curveball a whole lot different than a Babe Ruth or a pro. You make a mistake with a curveball and a pro, and I can promise you that joker is gone or somebody gets hurt. Write this phrase down. Don't waste the wait. Waiting is expectant endurance. Waiting builds endurance in our lives, and in the middle of the weight of the endurance, we're expecting all the time the Lord's going to come through. He's coming through. He's coming through. We've got a situation right now. We got one of our boys. We're praying, man. We're waiting. Oh, God. God, come through. We believe you're going to come through. We set him down earlier this week. I had a word for him, man. And we're just waiting. His mama, we're just waiting. We're waiting because there's a plan and a purpose and all that. And we're waiting. We're saying, God, just protect him and keep him. But it's learning. It's expectant endurance. It's where, man, there's going to be a day when that he's and you're waiting on it. But inside your heart has faith. See, that's the theology of waiting, and you learn that in waiting. You would never learn it if you pray and every answer is prayer like this. Then you start snapping your finger at God, and that's what the American church is doing right now, snapping their finger at God, and they don't wonder why in the world. See, I would just assume God come back right now, wipe out the whole thing over there in the Middle East, and the Israel people over Israel just walk around the base and point at all of them, but God doesn't do it that way. But I've got expectant endurance since I've been a little boy that at some point, Christy and I talk about it almost every day, at some point, the trump's going to blast and Jesus is coming now. You better get your heart right with Jesus if you don't know Jesus, because you can't catch somebody's Nike, baby. When they go up, you're left. And I live every day, and I wonder, what in the world are they going, what else, what's going to happen before we go? I don't understand. I mean, come on. Listen, if you'd listen to me, I got this under control. Waiting teaches you to be a watchman. All through Scripture, we read about watchmen, and they watch for protection, but they also watch for blessing. You see, the watchman watches for the first sign of early light, and the early light was when the first sacrifice of blessing was made. And I can imagine being on the wall, watching all night long, sitting in the dark all night, and you see the first glimmer of light. What a watch. I know what I'd do because I'd been dead asleep. They would never made me the watchman at night because they got shot, killed, and the wall tore down. I'm out. Watchman. Psalms 130, verse 1 through 6 says, out of the depths I cried to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the sound of my pleadings. If you, Lord, were to keep an account of my guilty deeds, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and I wait for his word. My soul waits in hope for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. Yes, more. Then the watchman waits for the morning. Waiting is expectant endurance. I'm going to finish up in not wasting the wait with just three things I want to highlight. Adam, you can and the team can start heading back this morning. When you're waiting and in this theology of wait and you're not wanting to waste the wait, would you first of all focus on the Word of God? Stop reading Facebook about whoever you're praying for. Stop sticking your prayer requests on Facebook so the world can read them, and really all we're doing is moaning and complaining about it. I'm going to move on in just a minute. But we need to focus on His ways. His ways. Let's hold firmly, Hebrews 10, 23, 25, let's hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let's consider how to encourage one another on. That's the reason why when you come to the house of God, you need to encourage somebody. You don't know if they're in the middle of this waiting period. You don't know if they're in the middle of a curveball of life. You don't even know what's going inside of them. But God's ways is that the people of God encourage each other, pray for each other, be a blessing. I got pulled in the parking lot. I cut across those parking places right by, and that pole's right down here. You're supposed to come around that pole up that driveway. Well, I didn't know. I just cut across a parking lot. The brother, I don't know where the brother was standing out front. I don't remember his name, but he was great. But he was just smiling. Christy said, he's laughing at you. I said, I don't know. Because you always want to cut corners. You always want to take shortcuts. We do. But focus on God's ways. In the waiting is when you focus on Him. And as you focus on Him, that brings encouragement. It says we're to encourage each other. And even more, hope in God. God's faithful. He's King. He's the first and last. He loves us more than anything. In the period of your waiting, God is trying to teach you that He loves you and He's embracing you as you embrace your wait. Focus on His ways, not on the ways of God. Focus on His word. Learn in the waiting period, memorize scripture and get in His word and focus on His word. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, His will is in the word. His word conforms our will to His will, and that happens in waiting. If it answer prayer, answer, prayer, answer. We would never learn what His will is because we would have Him conforming to our will. Waiting is not wasting. It's learning the will of God. Focus on His word. Lastly, focus on His work. Could I encourage you today, if you're in a season of waiting and wondering what God's doing, would you lock in to Jesus? Would you make sure that every day you're just focused on Him? Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore, since we also have a great cloud of witness surrounding, let us rid ourselves of every obstacle. That's what happens in waiting now. And the sin that entangles us, and let us run with endurance, expectant endurance, the race that is set before us, looking only to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. I promise you, if I walked out today and tried to run a marathon, if I tried to walk out and run a 5K, ain't no way. Yeah, no way. Never make it. I wouldn't make it down the first block. When the urge hits me to run, I lay down until it wears off. Can anybody say amen? Woo, hallelujah. Yes. So you have to run and practice to prepare for the race. Waiting is the preparation for that moment when the curveball comes, or when God says it's your turn, it's your time. Hebrews 11 is not the hall of faith, it's the hall of waiting. And some of them didn't even get to see what they wanted. That's what it says. But they still had expectant endurance because they'd learned to wait. I've never in my life ever prayed and said, Lord, I want You to make me wait. Anybody here ever went to the Lord and said, Lord, I thank You, Lord, that You're going to make me wait. But it's in the waiting that when we get to the answer, we look back and our testimony is made. A testimony is made in waiting. Appreciation is gained in waiting. Thankfulness and gratefulness is made in waiting. I close with this statement. If the Lord makes us wait, let us do so with our whole hearts. For blessed are those who wait, for He is worth waiting for. The waiting itself is beneficial to us. It tries our faith. Amen. Exercises our patience, trains submission, but it endears the blessing when it comes. Charles Spurgeon made that statement. Would you bow your heads all across this room today? Now, Lord, in Jesus' name and by your Spirit, I pray you would flow through this room. And if there are those that are here today that in waiting have become impatient or maybe even just almost given up hope, God, I pray right now that there would be a surge of your faith that would flow through this room and we would hug the wait. We would let you create a theology of wait, trusting you with expectant endurance for the answer. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed, eyes closed, is there anybody here? You say, Dave, I don't know Jesus, man. I'm lost. I'm away from the Lord, and I need to come to Jesus today and ask him to be my Savior. Would you lift your hand and look at me? If you're here today, just lift your hand and look at me. If you don't know the Lord, thank you, sweetheart. I see you. God bless you. Put your hand right back down. I love you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being brave. Somebody else. Anybody else, you say, hey, I'm here, I don't know the Lord, man, I need to accept the Lord. Just lift your hand and look right at me. Anybody else? One sister in this room? Before we move, I'm going to pray with her. Ma'am, would you look at me? The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you and God raised, then believe that God raised him from the dead. If you confess with your mouth he's Lord, he'll forgive you of your sins. He'll cleanse you. You ask him to forgive you of your sins. Believe in your heart, confess him, Lord, you'll be saved. Will you do that with me when I pray right now? Okay, let's pray. I'll pray, you repeat with me. Those in this room, pray with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. Your Spirit has convicted me and drawn me to you. I ask you now to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me. And that God raised you from the dead. And I confess right now, you are the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, folks, give this sister a great big hand today. I love you. That's awesome. Amen. If anybody else prayed that prayer, you need to contact Pastor Shane or contact Pastor Steve, Pastor Pam, the leadership of this church. You don't need to just make a confession. You need to start walking with the Lord, and they'll help walk with you, okay? The second call is this. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Dave, today, the Spirit of the Lord, I've been in a period of waiting, and I hadn't thought, I've been waiting for the answer, and I'm about giving my hand up. I'm about done. If that's you, I want you to, as we're going to all stand, when we stand, I want you to just come and stand up here. We want to stand together. Now, here's why. Listen, I'm standing with you now. I'm the most impatient guy in the room. I've already confessed mine. But you can't learn how to grow in the wait and create a theology of wait if you don't say, Lord, I've been impatient with you, and I'm going to determine to wait on you in this answer. Okay? When we stand and Adam begins to lead, I want you just to step out and come and stand right down here with each other, okay? Let's stand. Come on. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need prayer in this area, and I'm confessing, I'm coming, I'm going to believe God, I'm going to trust the Lord, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to embrace it. And I'm going to say, Lord, you teach me, help me, grow. Come on. God bless you.
I'm an overcome. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a winner. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I have dominion and I walk in authority, 'cause I've been washed in the blood and kept by his love.
Yeah.
Filled with the Spirit, and by his stripes I'm healed. I'm free. Yes, Jesus gave me the victory. I'm an overcomer.
Come on, anybody else? You're in a curveball. You've been thrown a curveball. And you need to come on.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. I have dominion and I walk in authority. I've been washed in the blood and kept by His love. Filled with the Spirit and by His stripes I'm healed, I'm free. Yes, Jesus gave me the victory. Say, overcomer. Say, overcomer. By the word.
By the blood of Lamb.
And the word.
And by the word of my testimony.
Yes, I'm an overcomer.
Says to encourage one another, so I want some these folks, I want somebody behind them. I want them to know somebody's standing with them in the weight. Okay? Those of you come forward, look at me. I want to say something to you. It's the last line here that I wrote this morning before I came over here. Here's what I want to say to you, those that are in the weight. Secret to waiting. The secret to waiting is opening up our heart to what God wants to do. And to say, God, I'm going to have patience to wait for what you're doing. God's going to do that. Those of you here, listen, man, me and Christy can tell you since last August, but the Lord's begun to open up some things. August, that's a long time for me. I'm going to tell you right now, if the Lord wanted me to wait on a child or wait on deliverance for like 20 something years, I'm just like, oh my Lord. But you can't get there until you've waited 8 months. So whatever the Lord's doing today, I want to encourage you that God sees your way. Look at me. Those of you that are praying, I want you to look at me now. I came today to tell you God is with you in your wait. He hasn't abandoned you. He's not absent to you. Sweetheart, right here. He's not absent to you. God's teaching, God's growing, God's perfecting. He's developing a theology in us. Lord, we're going to wait on you. And when it comes out, when the answer comes, I'm going to appreciate it and have a whole different revelation of how to help somebody else wait. Okay? Those of you behind, I want you just to lay your hands on their back. Those of you that are in the crowd, just stretch your hand toward these folks. We don't know what they're praying for. I want you to pray encouragement to them. I want you to pray faith toward them today. I want you to pray for persistence and perseverance and endurance. Lord, your word says today that they that wait upon the Lord, He'll renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Teach them, Lord. Teach them, Lord. Teach them, Lord. Teach them your ways. I pray, Lord, in whatever delay is going on, that you would quicken this morning in their spirit faith, just like you did with Daniel. You sent a messenger to him and said, I heard your prayer. It's been delayed, but the answer's coming. So, Lord, inside of their hearts today, I pray that they would begin to sense and know that your answer is on the way. It's on the way now. In their way, teach them, strengthen them. Encourage them. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. And every one of us in this room, every one of us will be at this moment at some point in our lives. I pray that we walk at this church. I pray your blessing over the Bend Church here in Cookeville, Tennessee. Pastors Shane and Pam, I pray today that you would lead them and guide them in the ministry of this church. I pray, Lord, that what you're teaching this congregation and what you're growing in this congregation would spill over into a blessing into a community that needs you. Yes. For people that are lost, that people in their houses have quit church because they became tired of waiting. They got discouraged, and the enemy intersected them in the middle of that and began to destroy their faith. I pray, Lord, that you would begin to work through these folks in this theology of waiting to help people understand you are working no matter if you don't do what we tell you to do. Oh God, help us. Help us. Forgive us, Lord. Anoint these people that are at the front. You're creating a testimony right now with these men and women. You're working inside of them, Lord. You're building perseverance. You're going to bring the answer, and it'll be a testimony, a greater appreciation than they've ever had before for what you're doing and what you've done. I speak that over them today in the name of Jesus. I speak it over this congregation. And I speak your anointing on the pastors of this church to continue to fulfill the mission and the plan you have for this congregation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, now listen, when we go to lunch today, y'all remember what I preached about. And if you see me getting aggravated in the way, please don't say, that preacher preached about it. Look at him today. Anyway, I love you. God bless you. Christy and I love you. Bless you.
Amen. Amen. What an on-time word. Amen. We all need that one. Let's give Pastor Dave a big hand. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, again, we want to thank you for being here with us today. I want you to go in peace. Go in the name of Jesus. Share your love, his love, your light, wherever you go. Amen. Have a blessed week. See ya.